gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
It's Tuesday, and on the line today, I've got Claire, the garden editor, who's fresh back from holiday. Good morning to you, Claire. You're right.
Good morning. I'm very well. Yes, I feel a bit of a cheat and a bit of a fraud, though, Dave. Can I tell you why?
Why is that?
I'm having another holiday in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, yeah. Go on, rub it in. Why not?
I know. Well, this one's an actual family holiday, whereas previously I was away just by myself. So this is kind of a family time.
Okay.
So I
Well,
don't know if that makes it any better or worse.
You are the hardest lady working in the garden, so that's fine.
Thank you very much.
Before,
and how is your?
Before we go too far, today is National Peanut and Chocolate Day. Does that float your boat, maybe?
Oh, totally, totally. In fact,
both of
top
them
tip.
or one of them?
Yep, both of them.
Nice. Okay.
Top tip, actually, when I was away on holiday, we had fires. We lit fires at night, and in the dying embers, we put bananas, not wrapped in foil, just put the bananas in their skins,
Yeah.
and then we slit them open. We put in dark chocolate and salted peanuts. It was next level fun. So
Next
I'm
level.
very
Do
I
you know
know
there's
it's
100? You
quite
know there's 100 calories in a banana.
that every single one of those calories is well worth it in my view. But the chocolate and salted peanuts and melted banana is a triumph of wild cooking. So if anyone is out there camping this holiday
Try
or
that.
going away or scout leaders, but that was my top tip. And also no foil. I thought you had to wrap bananas in foil to do
Yeah,
them
I
in
thought you would have
fires,
done
but
that as well.
no, you could just leave them in their skins and then you just slit them open, slit all the
Well,
way through,
at
stuff
this
in the chocolate, and it melts it in the by the virtue of its own heat.
rate, we'd be doing a cookery class next, wouldn't we?
I know,
Cooking in the
indeed, indeed.
garden. Cooking in the garden with Claire. There you go.
Well, that's about my limit of cooking, I have to say, but there we are.
Okay.
But it's
Right.
holiday season, isn't
It
it?
is. Yeah. We'll be talking about today. Oh, well, I know. We're talking about how to look after your garden if you're going on holiday. Because I'm sure
Exactly.
that that's on everyone's. Because you can't always, some people might not have to, might not talk to their neighbours and might not have someone to come
Yeah.
around and water the garden and stuff. So
Yeah,
well, go on and
indeed.
give us your tips for that then.
So a few tips on this one, because it is, I mean, obviously it's not been very hot, but we never know what the temperature's going to do, and people worry about it, if you've spent a lot of time in your garden. So here's a couple of things just to make that easier for you. And let's assume you've got no help, you've got no people coming in, but we'll talk a bit about that if we can too. So the first thing to do, even if the heavens have opened, and my goodness, we've had some days like that, haven't we? Is if you can give everything in your garden a really good soak before you go away. And that means to the root ball, water for up to 3 or 4 seconds per plant. So 1, 2, 3, 4, right at the root ball. Don't bother about trying to put water on leaves and things like that. It will just go and evaporate. But if you do that and give everything a really good soak, you're much more likely to have plants which are resilient. In the wild, plants aren't watered for weeks, if not months of the year, depending on where they've grown. But so you don't have to have your plants wet all the time. But if you can spend the time in that last minute when you're trying to find your tickets and your passports, just give everything a really, really good water, and that kind of sets you
And your hair straighteners.
up. Well,
Not
speak
for
for
me.
yourself.
Not for me.
I like to go a holiday wiggly is the hairstyle I advocate for.
I
So.
like the saying of that. Holiday wiggly. Okay. Right. Sorry.
Yeah,
I jumped in then. Sorry.
that's all right. That's all right. And then, if you can, deadhead anything which looks like it's going over and crispy. So at this time of year, your roses might be going over, your geraniums, your catmints. So anything which looks like it's gone over, cut it back hard. It will recover while you're away, so you don't have to look at the bare patches. Because while you're having your margaritas or your ember cooked bananas,
Bananas and
chocolate
chocolate
and
and
peanuts, indeed, in a forest in the New Forest or whatever, but that will make everything grow that much better for on your return. And the same goes to weeding. If you can get on top of the weeds, I know it's really boring, but if you want to get rid of particular plants or weeds, as we call them, do that before you go away. then give everything a really good water. And if you can, if you've got any spare compost or organic matter or mulch, put that on top. And what that does is it locks in the moisture to your soil. It prevents it evaporating, it kind of keeps it there, and it means that you're suppressing any weed growth as well. So when you come back, you're not faced with sadness to look at.
Oh, so you do the watering first and then put the stuff on top?
Yes,
all right.
Because if you put the stuff on top and then water, it kind of will just go into the top layer. What we want is to create a nice moist, earthy base, and then
all
you
right.
put the stuff on top like a cap, and you're just kind of keeping all the moisture in.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So that's the kind of things to do in the big gardeny kind of areas, the things you can't move around, the rest of it. If you are a grower, like I don't know how your lettuces are doing, for example,
oh, they're,
Dave.
They're doing all right. I think I'll probably have to pick
Excellent.
them soon, I think.
Yes. Well, as I was saying, if you've got stuff to harvest, pick it all, whether that's flowers like dahlias at the moment are coming through. I'm giving away armfuls of dahlias to neighbours whenever I can, or sweet peas, or courgettes, or lettuces. Harvest as much as you possibly can, because that means the vigour will still keep in the plants while you're away. And it's a really nice thing that you can give away to neighbours if you've got any, or you know, if you've got too many courgettes, you can just shove them in the fridge for a couple of days. But it means that you're not coming back to marrows, for example.
Yeah.
And if you keep deadheading your sweet peas, that means you'll get more flowers. Whereas if you leave the flowers while you're away, they will go to seed, which basically the plant is then told by its hormones to stop putting out flowers. So if you take off the flowers, the plant thinks, whoa, cripes, I better get some more flowers out. That's what you want to kind of keep them doing as long as you can.
Okay.
Yeah. So you might be able to eat your lettuce, or you might be giving your lettuce away, which would be sad after all that hard work.
That's all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then a question I often get asked is about things like, what about pots and hanging baskets and things like that? Because they can take a lot of water in the summer, particularly if you've got bedding plants in there, or hanging baskets, which get very dry and very crispy unless you kind of water them quite a lot. So if you're able to, I always say just make a shade nursery. So find a cool, shady spot in your garden and move all your pots all together really close. And that means when you do water them, you're going to slow down the water evaporation, and you're going to create a little warmer, a moister microclimate there. If you leave them all spread out wherever they are in the garden in the heat of the sun, if you do water them, that's going to evaporate very quickly. And if you do have people coming into your garden, if you do able to access help, they're going to have to do a lot of individual watering.
Yeah,
Whereas,
as opposed to just one area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One
That's a good
area.
idea.
Which, if you are using water from the tap, that's water you're paying for, remember? So, you know, less coming out of the taps, less pennies and more money to be spent in duty free. Do you have a particular duty free habit?
Deep aftershave. I don't drink it.
Oh.
I don't drink. No. Well,
Yeah.
yeah, I'm. But then even like this year, the aftershave was quite expensive, and it wasn't that much cheaper, really. I was a bit
No.
disappointed with that.
No, yeah, just to make it last a bit longer.
Well,
Yeah.
I
But
think my
anyway, the
wife
less
thinks
we
I'm
have the
bathing it. Have you got enough of that on? I can't smell it really, but there you go.
There we go. Well, say so the less water you can put out of your tap, the less money you have to spend on things like that. So that also helps the money as well. And if you have hanging baskets, I would suggest putting them with your pots as well. If you
I'll take
balance
them
them like
down and
you
put
have,
them. Yeah,
yeah,
put them.
take them down and put, you know, sometimes they have these kind of curved bottoms, but if you've got
Yeah.
any buckets, you can kind of prop them on a bucket, put water in the bucket. Again, it's just going to keep it moister and keep it kind of damper and cooler. No one's going to be seeing your hanging baskets while you're away. The one I've tried this quite successfully, actually. This is a bit of a thing I saw a couple of years ago, and I was very skeptical, but it worked. But if you have lots of tiny plants in pots, like seedlings or things you're growing, and this might be for the keener gardeners amongst you and amongst our lovely listeners, I found a really good way, which is called capillary action. You put a bucket or a watering can up on a couple of pile of bricks, and you get a lot of lengths of string, and you put one length of the string in the
Oh,
bucket in the
yes, I know
water,
what you mean. Yeah.
and you drape it down, and you put the other end in the soil
And
of
the water
the
goes down
pot.
the string.
and the water does indeed go down the string. Now, don't do them across half an acre garden because you'll lose all the water in evaporation. But I found this worked really well. I went away and I had a few things just left over. I hadn't had time to put them out and I was really skeptical, but it worked a treat. And they got enough water and it really, really helped keep those going. So if you do have anything which is small and a bit vulnerable and you're worried about them just drying out super quickly, give the raised watering can and string trick a try. If
and
you've got
I
space.
suppose if it's indoors, you could use just a jug of water, couldn't you? Anything that's
Anything. Yeah, exactly. Or a bucket. You can anything which is going to hold the water for sure. And you might remember this, but back in the day, we used to cut Coke bottles in half, didn't we? And bury them by your tomato plants. That's still really good. You know, that's really good horticulture practice of, you know, but burying a pot called an olea nearby anything which needs a lot of water, and you fill it up and it slowly oozes out into the surrounding soil, which means you're not wasting the water from evaporating. So that kind of old way of doing things is still a really good way of keeping on top of the watering regimes.
See, we don't need technology, do we?
Well, sometimes technology tells us lots of stuff and science and research is really, really important. But sometimes then you kind of go full circle and think, oh, well, that's why we did it. But now we know why we did it and that's helpful.
Okay.
Should we move indoors
Yeah,
or
let's
up
do
onto
that.
balconies and things like that?
Yeah, let's do the
So for,
balconies. Yeah, let's do
yeah.
balcony. Yeah.
So for balconies, it's very similar to having pots, that if you can move them to a shadier part of a balcony, do so. It is trickier because you might have limited room to manoeuvre things and they might get quite heavy. But again, these putting plunge planting these pots and filling them with water is a good idea. And also providing a bit of shade, because quite often in balconies, things can get quite hot, can't they? So sometimes I've seen people put up a parasol or put up a windbreak. Do you remember the windbreaks you used to have on the beaches?
The
Everyone
different
else.
coloured ones, yeah.
Oh yeah, everyone else doesn't have them, I think. Whenever I went on holiday to France, none of the French families had them, but it was us Brits who were used to being, you know, on a beach in
That's when you
full
turn
rain
up
gear with
with
a
it and think,
thermos.
oh, left the bloody mallet at home.
And then
Didn't
you have to
you?
go and hunt on the beach for the one stone, which might
Or,
actually
yeah,
work. Yeah.
or you try and use the plastic shovel that breaks in the end, the plastic spade or something, yeah.
Or the jelly shoe. Yeah. Yeah, we've
Yeah, shoot. Now you're showing your age now.
I rather am, I fear. Although I'm sure they're probably unfashionable now, the way fashion is going. But you know, anything which provides shade and stops wind is going to limit your water loss. So those are good things to do. The thing I would say is don't overly panic about these things. Lots of plants will survive a very long time without water. So, you know, it's particularly if you've got things like rosemary or lavender growing on a balcony, they're really hardy, they're drought tolerant. So don't kind of over worry about things like that. It's more, you know, if you have very fleshy herbs like basil, they do like a moisture environment. So those are the ones I would prioritize there. And then plants indoors as well, because we can't forget our plants indoors. So again, the same kind of ideas, which is give everything a really good soak before you go away. I grow orchids, and the ones you can get in lots of the supermarkets. And I've had one, I think, in flower for on and off the last 12 years, incredibly. And I literally dunk it in a cup of water for 5 minutes every Sunday morning, and then I
All
hook
right.
it out. And it just keeps on going. It's a brilliant, brilliant way of just kind of making it easy to look after those things. If you're worried about them scorching in the windows, I have had friends who've put down like a wet tea towel in the bottom of their bath and put all their plants having a little bath. Or the bottom of a shower tray, something like that. Not too hot, not too disturbing, but you know, again, depending on how long you're going away for, that should be fine. Many houseplants can survive changes in temperature and changes in light, particularly if you're going darker. It's always a challenge if you're pushing them into more light and more heat stress, but the other way around, most plants will be able to cope with that for a fair period of time. And then final two top tips. If you want to mow your lawn, last thing to do, make it look really nice. You've done your mulching, your feeding, your deadheading, your watering. a final mow of the lawn means that when you come back, if you're a person who likes a nice tidy lawn, it just doesn't mean you're faced with an immediate thing when all you want to do is unpack and, you know, get the washing on and have the first cup of tea, which tastes like an actual cup of tea in a while. It sounds really obvious, but I'm going to say it because there's lots of plant shows and there's lots of amazing fairs on at the moment. But if you have just bought some plants, don't plant them if you're about to go on holiday. Leave them in the pot. Keep it watered with your pots, but don't put them into a kind of a situation of stress while you're not going to be around. And if time, money, energy is tight, I would always say prioritize the things which you really care for you know, which are of sentimental value. Trees for the first 2 summers in particular. So if you spent money on your new apple tree or something, the first 2 summers are the ones to kind of really fret about. And anything which is, you know, very newly planted or tiny seedlings. But that's be what would be my top tips for how to get everything ready so you can jet off or scoot off or cycle off or train off or barge away, whatever form of transport you desire to go on a holiday, safe in the knowledge that your garden's being looked after as best as possible by Mother Nature.
And some great tips there as well, Claire, I think. Some good
Well, you're
tips
very
there.
welcome.
Some good tips, yeah. And so are we going to see you in 2 weeks? Or are you on
I hope
holiday in
so.
2 weeks?
I hope so. I will have to come back to you on that if I
Okay, all right. We're fingers crossed. We're fingers
I've got a
crossed,
feeling.
sweet.
If not, I've got lots of ideas of new things to talk about as well. And we also would love to hear from our fantastic listeners if there's any particular things that they want us to hear about
Okay.
from August onwards. I'm thinking we might do one all about tall plants, and we might do one all about ground cover plants, so kind of plants with tricky places, because that's quite a fun thing to talk about.
Okay, we'll do it in a couple of weeks. So, before you go, go on up. Well, it's a bit obvious what song you're going to pick, but go on and tell the listeners what you're picking today.
Well, I thought going about dear old Cliff, we were going on a summer holiday, but I just couldn't do it, I'm afraid. I just, you know, I don't know if it's because Wimbledon is over, but I thought, Cliff, your time has passed. I would like to engage one of the queens of wearing jelly shoes. I'm sure she'll have worn jelly shoes in the past, but Madonna and Holiday, please, is my track of the week.
Thank you very much, Claire, and I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks. Have
Goodbye.
fun.
Thank you.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.